In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build 4 Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, watching Saquon Barkley last night tear through the Rams, it took me back to 1997, watching Corey Dillon do it to the Titans on a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And Corey was a rookie, and just sitting there watching these gaping holes open up and just watch him running through the holes. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, Kajanus Carter was the starter for us. Remember him from Penn State?
Of course, yeah.
And he's a good back himself. But Corey was angry because Corey had fallen to the second round of the draft. Should have been a first rounder, and I agree with him. Didn't really get a lot of playing time early on in the season, and he and I kind of came in together and towards the end of that year, and I was his quarterback that night. And watching him do what Saquon Barkley did last night was nothing short of a miracle. He was exhausted. Towards the end of the third quarter, he's like, I'm like, you wanted to play? You wanted to play? Get your ass out there. Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, you could set a record. And I think he set a rookie rushing record.
Yeah.
And then later on in the 2000 year, he had an unbelievable game against the Denver Broncos. And I think he's fourth on the overall greatest running backs day of in history. And then I think Saquon's now at 255, so he's probably about sixth or seventh on that list.
Yeah, I mean, for the Giants, it's just another one of these things. I mean, not only did he come into MetLife Stadium and they got crushed, and then he's jumping over people backwards, and he is the toast of the NFL with the running back position, and now this happens on Sunday night after a 30-7 beatdown at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's just, when it rains, it pours. I mean, it is that ugly. And speaking of raining and pouring, more crazy jet news came out over the weekend, and I can't wait to hear everybody address this and see what the next move is for Woody and company. But Jay Glazer says that there is a divide that just keeps widening between Jets players and Woody Johnson.
All right, so you have two guys that have been fired.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, those are your sources. There you go. I mean, it's one of those two guys, either Joe or Rob, that is talking to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is how the game is played. You find the disgruntled guy, the fired guy, ask a few questions, get a few answers. Next thing you know, this is where it all comes from.
You know, there is one other person that these leaks could be coming from.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, Dr. Joe.
Oh, Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe. Okay.
That was Eddie's line. But it was, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, of course, as well. But, I mean, so if there's a divide between the owner and the players, I mean, like, you can't really fix that, can you? Like, no, Woody Johnson's not selling the team. And unless, you know, someone's contract is up at the end of the year, they're going to be here. And also, there was a Athletic report about how Aaron Rodgers wants to play next year, but it doesn't want to be for the Jets, and Woody wouldn't bring him back anyway. I mean, it is. And then also, the other thing that Jay Glazer, the story that he told, is that Woody Johnson shows up, lands his helicopter at Florham Park, and Joe Douglas is standing next to Jeff Ulbrich, and he goes, "Hey, if I get fired in the next 10 minutes, it'd be nice working with you." And then Woody Johnson pulls him off the field, Joe Douglas, and fires him. I mean, he knew it.
Yeah, he knew it.
I mean, it's just...
And I told you, like, you... I think you were the one that said, though, the last time that Joe Douglas had given an interview, you felt like he was sad. He was down.
Yeah, he sounded it, yeah.
And I think a lot of that had to do with the Robert Saleh firing, which he had no hand in.
Right.
And I don't know if he actually had anything to do with the Hassan Reddick eventual signing.
He didn't, yeah.
I don't know if he had anything to do with the Davante Adams trade.
Yeah, there's also things back all the way in January that was reported that he wanted to give Bryce Huff an offer and had it all ready to go, and then Woody Johnson nixed it.
Well, but what? Like, why is the owner nixing that? Like, did Woody Johnson ever play football?
No. I mean, I'm just like,
I would understand if Jerry Jones does something like that, because Jerry Jones actually played football. you know, was at a high level at Arkansas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so like there's some legitimacy to understanding like the game and what goes into the game. And I'm not saying Woody doesn't understand the game. He does. Of course he does. Goes to every game. He's financially invested in it. I'm sure he wants to bring a winner to this town, much like Jim Dolan wants to bring a winner, much like Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen want to bring winners. Everybody wants to bring a winner to the town. Doing it is almost, it takes a lot of things to go right.
It's really hard for these guys who are generally in charge of everything in their lives. You know, they've either had success on their own or they've had success, you know, family success, and then they've taken over. Much like you've seen with Jim Dolan and Woody Johnson, it's hard for them to keep their hands off of things because that's what they're used to. And it took Jim Dolan a very, very long time to take his hands off of the New York Knicks and hire the right guys and make sure that they ran the organization. And Woody Johnson, he needs to learn this. Now, I've been saying over and over again that if I am a candidate that walks into that facility as a GM or a head coach, and Woody Johnson says, you know, I've seen a lot of things out there. People talk about me meddling too much. It's not going to happen. I'm going to let you do your job. I don't believe him at all. I just would not. It's going to be very, very hard for the Jets to get their guy. But I think it's just because he's in charge. He put a lot of money into this thing. He saw it slipping away. He thought, these guys that I hire can't get it done. If you want something done right, I'm going to do it. And he's got no business making the decisions. I mean, that's really the only way I can explain it. And it's the worst trait in an owner in sports, is where you hire people to do a job and you don't let them do it.
All right, so let me ask you a question. The Wolf family owns the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right.
And they're from New Jersey. They're, mm-hmm. I guess, general New Yorkers, tri-state area people, but they own the Vikings. They bought the Vikings. How do you feel like they run the team?
It's great. I mean, they let the guys do their jobs. They're supportive of everything. They built that facility. They built a new stadium. I mean, they took over and did everything that you would want an ownership group to do. And they're so positive. They're around. They're present. And the players love them. If you look at some of these like big wins that they've had during the Wolf tenure, you know, the players are hugging them in the locker room and stuff. I mean, you just see a positive vibe. So yeah, they've done a great job. And as far as I know, I mean, I'm not living out there. They do not meddle. I mean, and you know, Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, the GM, do what they want to do because that's what they were hired to do. And then the Wolves aren't the only ones. I mean, there's a lot of really good owners out there that let their guys do what
yeah,
they're supposed to do.
I would say Clark Hunt.
Yep, for sure.
The thing about him, though, is he's got this great coach that he ended up hiring once he left the Eagles and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And they went out and got it. They were successful, you know, with Alex Smith as quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy knew that he needed a quarterback, and he needed a quarterback that was going to be well-versed in his offensive system, which he was. And they won with him. They just didn't go really far with him. And then they struck gold when they got Patrick Mahomes, who did it again yesterday.
Yeah, wow.
I think the team's bored. I think like the Chiefs are bored. Like they got to wait till the game gets nut cutting time or gets into the playoffs, and all of a sudden they start playing at a different level.
Yeah. I mean, there could be something to that, but you would think that they'd want things to be easier, right?
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like I think they get bored. I really, really think they get bored.
But that defense had no business giving up as many points to the Panthers as they did. That was pretty bad. They had no business doing that. I mean, give credit to the Panthers, by the way, who were the joke of the NFL for the first 6 or 7 weeks.
Yes.
And have won a couple of games and have played better and shown some fight. So that's a team that's at least showing their crazy owner, who's too involved, that they might be going in the right direction a little bit.
Did you see Anthony Richardson was 11 of 28 yesterday?
Yeah, he did. Didn't look like he did against the Jets, did he?
Yeah, wasn't playing the Jet defense, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Oof. Yeah, another big win for the Lions. They just, and these games aren't even close. Let's go to Nick in Brooklyn. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what's up, Gio? What's up, Boomer?
All righty, Nick, what's happening?
Not much. Boomer, I love you, man. You are the absolute man. I listen to you guys every morning. I don't remember the last time I listened to music going into work. I just wanted to make a point and then a comment. The point I wanted to make is that, Gio, you said that, and I'm only, you know, backpacking off of what you just said. Some owners should let their GMs make the decisions and be hands off. But I think that Mara is not so far off from Woody. I think that Eli should go to the Hall of Fame in 2025, because without him, we would be so parallel to the Jets organization. We are making all the bad decisions. We are not holding on to the right people. We lost our quarterback and our running back. And we held on to the quarterback for this running back that just did 266 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I know. And I know it sounds crazy, Nick, to keep going back to the Saquon Barkley thing. But, you know, there's guys in certain situations are going to thrive. Saquon Barkley was here for a really long time, and he didn't play like this. You know, and they were.
Well, he played good. I mean,
but he didn't play like this.
Yeah, but he didn't have the offense around him.
Right.
That he has. Like, he has an offensive line. He's got a quarterback that can move around and make plays and make secondary plays. And he's got wide receivers that are top end wide receivers. So now he's a part of. He's like the Christian McCaffrey was for the 49ers.
Yeah, right. And sometimes
he's the piece that was added.
Right, right. Exactly. Yes. And sometimes these guys. You know, these running backs that are dual threats and catch the ball, and like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley become the most important players on teams. It's rare. That's why you see so many NFL GMs let these running backs go. I mean, we've talked about Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones and all these other guys going to different places, and then you get a couple of special guys like McCaffrey and Barkley. Now, as far as Woody Johnson and John Mara, you know, John Mara's been at the helm here for some just miserable, miserable seasons, and he's made some terrible hires. But if you were to believe that everything you saw on off-season Hard Knocks was the way things really go, you could see the difference. You know, John Mara walks in, he gives his opinion, and then the guys do what they feel is right, and then he has their back. Like, he didn't want Saquon to go anywhere. He also was, you know, nervous about trading a bunch of picks to get up to select a quarterback. It reminds me a lot of 2004, but he didn't, at least we didn't see him say, do this, do that, do this, or you're not doing that, which is some of the things that we saw from Woody Johnson, or at least has been reported that Woody did to Joe Douglas.
Well, the one thing I will say, you talk about parallel teams and organizations. Since, 2011, the Jets are 80 and 142. That's a 360 win percentages, 7 last place finishes, 9-10 lost seasons, 1 winning season, 0, 5 head coaches, and a 49-62 home record. Okay. So that's since 2011. Since 2012, the Giants are 78-127. That's a 380 win percentage. They have 3 last place finishes, 8-10 loss seasons, 3 winning seasons, 2 playoff appearances, 6 head coaches, and they are 44-58-1 at home. That's parallel.
Yep. 2 miserable organizations sharing an ugly stadium.
And since 2017, they both only have 39 wins. The Jets have 87 losses. The Giants have 86 losses and a tie. I mean, like, I've
seen
all of it. I you know, and the guys that have come through here, they're good coaches, they're good people, they're solid football men, just for whatever reason, and there's probably a myriad of them that we don't see, they have been handcuffed as coaches.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I am very surprised at you, Boomer, because you are generally on top of things like this, where someone has a shirt on you don't like, or there's a change in appearance, or something is going on, and you have not said anything about CeeLo's mohawk this morning.
I looked at it, his first update. Well, actually, I saw it this morning when he and Al were doing the warm-up show, and I was like, eh, all right.
I saw you eyeing me. That's why when I started my first update, I did a quick glance through after the sponsor to see if you were going to, you know, take a shot.
Right.
And you opted to go Rangers instead, so that was much appreciated.
It just makes your face look fat, that's all.
Well, I mean, the face is fat, so.
You know, man, but it makes it look fatter.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I'm a short hair guy, always have been. My hair is thick, and I don't like when it gets long, especially now. I've got some grays that pop out on the side. So, okay.
Will your hair grow thick, though?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That's why I'm every three-week guy, so I get very uncomfortable.
The best part about how this is how this happened. So CeeLo gave himself that mohawk.
Right.
He cut his own hair.
The last time I was in here, I told you guys there was a snafu with the gal who cut my hair. And I did my best to save it and really couldn't. So I got a little cocky the second time around. Decided, how hard could it be? I'll take care of it.
So you did yourself.
And here we are.
Yeah. How old are you?
38.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Okay.
Isn't that like when you start cutting your own hair? Isn't that like a sign of like
life is over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like people who you know when Britney Spears shaved her head.
You don't put me in that category.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if people just, like, you see in the movies when someone's having, like, a real-life crisis, they'll just start cutting their own hair in the bathroom. And I feel like maybe you're at that spot.
I had a little bit of a different analogy, which I mentioned to you off the air, G, where it was, like, I started doing it, and it's, like, the hair cutting, that is. When you go into the refrigerator, and there's, like, a leftover pie or cake, and instead of, like, cutting a piece and putting it on the plate, you just start to shave a little off each side, and the next thing you know...
It's gone.
The whole thing's almost gone.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happened.
So how long are you going with this?
I mean, it's fine. It's relatively recent, a couple of days. So by next week, by the end of this week, by Friday, when I'm in here with McMonagle doing the 4 hours of Yankee talk, as you guys said on Friday,
he'll
barely notice it. It'll be fine.
Okay.
I think it looks fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's loud.
I thought you're a little bit old and just makes your face look fat.
Yeah. There's not much I can do about that, except when we get into the spring, Boomer, I'll get on the bike.
Look at CBS Sports Network.
Mine's not quite that high.
Yes. Let's go to Rob in Danbury, Connecticut. Hello, Rob.
Gentlemen, good morning. CeeLo, you got to do better than this, man. You look like you're ready to go to the eighth grade dance.
Yeah.
Oh, the eighth grade dance. That's a fond memory. I wish I could go back to redo the eighth grade dance.
Yeah. You know, the eighth grade dance is where Jalapeno Dream played. That was my band in middle school.
We played
the eighth grade dance.
Nice.
Yeah, that reminds me of good times back then. Jalapeno
Funny he brings
Dream.
Up the eighth grade dances. They just showed Mr. T with all the bling. I remember wearing like one of those token silver chains outside of a black dress shirt.
When you were in eighth grade.
The eighth grade dance.
When Mr. T was popular.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. T still alive?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
You're
very confident?
Yeah, I saw him in a commercial recently.
Just Google it.
72.
All right,
72. All right. There he is.
Still with us.
Chuck Woolery passed away.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I had thought he had been dead
Long
for
gone.
A while. Yeah, and I was wrong about that.
Mm.
But yeah, he was you want to talk about a great game show host.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was as good as, I mean, he was born to do that.
100%.
Born to be a game show host, Chuck Woolery.
So, my guy, Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And then I'll trip back, obviously. It's a different type of game show, though. But he's in a class all his own.
But he did the one game show. Many of these other guys did many game shows.
Many game shows, yeah. Yeah, Bob Eubanks.
Gene Rayburn.
Wow.
Gene Rayburn, yes.
Yep. Great one.
So all right.
CeeLo, what do you got, man?
All right, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. Giants down 23-0 to the Bucks at halftime yesterday. They had a total of 45 yards in the first two quarters. But even when they came out in the third and put together a nice drive, moved the football to screw that up too.
A shotgun snap direct to Tracy. Bucks are not fooled, and he's going to get tackled at the 6. So the ball came out, and the Bucks say they have it. And they do. So they go Wildcat with Tracy and Singletary, and Tracy has fumbled it again.
That's Bob Papa here.
And remember,
on the
he had the big fumble against the Panthers in Germany, and he was benched for the rest of the game. He did not get another carry after that.
A lot of people were ripping Daboll for going Wildcat there after they had come all the way down the field. but it doesn't change the fact that the handoff was executed, or the snap was fine, and he got the ball stripped out.
Yeah.
If they handed it to him and he went left and he got and he fumbled, what's the difference?
No, you're right. I mean, and this is, you know, he kept saying he was down, he was down. I mean, he wasn't anywhere near being down when that ball came out.
Well, of course, he's hoping that he's down. You know, he doesn't want to make a mistake like that. I mean,
again,
I'm not gonna kill the kid. I mean, he's busting his ass.
I know he is, but this is now.
It's too, a problem. Well, right. You remember, it was Tiki Barber had a problem early on in his career. Fix it. Own it like Tiki did, and fix it like Tiki did. That's what he has to do. He's got to learn how to do that.
Coughs it up at the Tampa Bay 5-yard line, and the Bucs, of course, went the other way, 95 yards in 12 plays to make it 30-0. It ends up 30-7 in MetLife's. The Giants are 2-9. They're 0-6 at home this season.
CeeLo, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. What do we got?
Spencer in Miami. What's going on, Spencer?
Hey, good morning, fellas. CeeLo, I heard you're playing third base on BT's kids' Little League team for the Thanksgiving tournament this weekend.
Yeah, you know, Spencer, since we got rid of the softball around here, you know, I got to find some team to play on.
Yes.
So, yeah, I got to fit in with the 8, 9, and 10-year-olds.
You actually do look like BT's yeah. kid a little bit.
I'll be honest.
I mean, like BT's kid comes in here, man, that's like a little dose of testosterone right
yeah.
there.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a classic apple didn't fall far spot,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Which is great. I mean, and I love seeing him, and BT's so proud of him, and the guy's got so much energy. He's just Colton. He's awesome.
He's a stud athlete already.
Yeah, already. I know. I had a catch with him, and he's already got more velocity.
Do you think, like, BT would be, like, the pain-in-the-ass parent, like, when he gets older and, you know, BT's not coaching him?
No, I don't think...
Take it up your ass!
I was going to say no, now I'm going to say yes. After hearing that, yes is the answer.
Oh, man. Oh, my God, yes, I can see that.
All right, CeeLo, what else?
The word soft was used to describe the Giants by multiple players, as we heard last hour, including Dexter Lawrence. A little bit more from him here with our guy, Bruce Beck.
Describe your level of frustration right now.
Probably a 10.
Do you think it can get better? And if it does get better, how does it get better?
I mean, I think it always can get better. It's a process. Right now, it's a long process that, you know, I'm here for it. I'm going to keep leading.
Yeah, long process. Let's check in with Brian Burns. He's new to all this season, at least with the Giants. Obviously played on some losing teams with the Panthers, but he's fed up as well.
What do you make out of coming off your bye week and being down 30-0 at home?
It's ass.
How do you guys...
Did you follow up on that? Did you make that known to guys? Like, did you say something afterwards?
I spoke with my mom.
You want to expound on that anymore?
Not really.
Not really?
Not really.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just to follow up on the that's ass answer.
Did you vocalize that?
Did you vocalize that you believe that the game was ass to your teammates? Or
oh, man.
That was amazing. It's not one sack.
Nothing.
No sacks, no interceptions.
Nothing.
I mean,
no, nothing.
I mean, defense went, I mean, their Bucs offense went right down the field to start the game.
Yep.
Mike Evans, there he is, throw it to him.
I mean, fresh like, off his hamstring injury.
What's amazing to me is that, like, you know, they got him involved early.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know why, you know, again, I have to go back. I'll look at the tape again, but I'm just telling you, they just could not handle their blitz on offense. The Giants couldn't.
That Bucky Irving had his career day. You know,
they got three backs rolling.
I mean, that guy looked like, I mean, he was running 50 times faster than anybody on the Giants defense.
Yeah. And then there's Malik Nabers, frustrated, zero targets in the first half, and then magically gets the first three right out of the gate in the third quarter, but obviously too late at that point. Asked why he wasn't seeing the ball when the game wasn't a blowout.
I mean, they know. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was dark. I mean, I don't know.
How big is that gummy he's chewing?
Yeah.
He had multiple pieces.
He was
too.
Putting it in right as he was getting ready to meet the media and answer the questions. He had the sunglasses on. It was quite a
well,
scene.
Well, I'll tell you, he's going to be a handful. Again, here we go.
You know, it's funny because if you go back to that offseason Hard Knocks, you know, Brian Daboll says, how do you deal with things aren't going well?
Yeah.
You know, fast forward to here, leather jacket. Sunglasses, 50 pieces of gum going soft as F. Bruce Beck going, what's the most disappointing thing? Malik?
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, we heard him say last hour, ask Dabes, not laying it at the feet of Tommy DeVito or his predecessor.
I mean, obviously, it ain't the quarterback. Same homecoming we had DJ at quarterback. I mean, take a look. It ain't the quarterback.
So what do you think?
I don't know what it is. Everybody know better than me.
Oh, boy.
Better not say it's their offensive lineman. They'll kill you today.
I don't think that's what he was implying, but I could be wrong.
You think he's implying the coaches?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Oof. Here we go again. I mean, this is going to be a long 6 weeks, man. Thank God that they have a short week this week.
I guess. Yeah.
And get the hell out of town tomorrow.
Great. Thanksgiving in Arlington.
Oh, yeah, I guess they'll leave Wednesday.
Yeah, whatever. It's a weird week. Adding insult to injury, Baker Mayfield does the DeVito Italian hand separation after his first half rushing touchdown, and he had an interesting post-game exchange on that.
I guess it was the DeVito celebration. Is that
tribute. It? Tribute to Tommy, yeah. He's a good dude. He's got swag.
Yeah, who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do, so there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it,
too. Oh, my God. Yeah, New York fans love Tommy here, and give them something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance, or no?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
She was not amused by the whole thing.
What was she trying to get at?
I don't know, and I would have assumed that this was a New York, like a local New York reporter, and what I can gather, I guess this was someone from Tampa. I don't know what.
You know, maybe it was a combination of the Trump dance with the Tommy DeVito, like, not odd.
But she brought up the Italian thing. It's like, are you Italian by chance?
Italian? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not.
Are you?
I'm not really sure.
You didn't plan that? What?
I mean...
That's exactly how I mean, felt.
Jesus. So you really, that wasn't premeditated? I mean, I don't understand. Is it a trivia? You said it was a trivia? Lady. Are you Italian? Shut up. Jesus Christ.
It's brutal.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I mean, I think
just
I would...
put his hands up in the air, for God's sakes.
I would be standing there in stunned disbelief.
You serious, lady?
He handled it pretty well. Helps when you win the game 30-7.
Oh, he's a great personality, man. Yeah. Come on.
No, I know. Ugh. Anyway, his Bucks snap a 4-game skid. They improved to 5-6. We will have Cowboys Giants Thanksgiving Day. Want to give you a taste of Cowboys radio this hour.
I'm picturing that woman asking Todd Bowles questions.
Oh, my God.
So, Todd, what happened on the third corner?
Oh, damn. Here we go again. Go ahead. Ask me stupid ass questions.
If he is.
God. All right, sorry, CeeLo.
That's all right. Cowboys Commanders was 10-9 into the start of the fourth quarter. Dallas then led by 10 with under 3 minutes left after a 99-yard kick return score from Kevontae Turpin. So the Commanders kick a field goal to get the ball back, down 7. There's 33 seconds left deep in their own territory.
All right, first down, Daniels back. A little pressure, throws it deep down the right side, caught. McLaurin, 45, he's running away. McLaurin's going to score! Down the right sideline, ran away from everybody, and with one play and 21 seconds left, Terry McLaurin went 86 yards.
That's Cowboys radio, but they knew the game-tying extra point was far from a sure thing.
Hey, this is no gimme now.
He's already missed one extra point.
Yep. Had the hip injury.
It's a huge play for Rich Seibert, their kicker. And the kick's away. And the kick is wide left.
I love that he went with the Rich Seibert. Back to, you know, those Giants-Cowboys matchups. It's Austin Seibert, of course. And, he was wide left. Rough day for both kickers down there in Landover. The Cowboys end up winning 34-26. They went off as at least a 10-point underdog. I think it was 11 in some spots. And the Washington offense, up until that McLaurin touchdown catch there, really had nothing going. That's their third straight loss. They fall to 7-5. Sunday Night Football, we've talked about Saquon Barkley, another monster performance. In the second half alone, he had touchdown runs of 70 and 72 yards. He goes for 255 plus four catches for 47 yards as his Eagles improved to 9-2 with a 37-20 win over the Rams. A couple of other notables from elsewhere. The Packers beat up on the Brock Purdy-less 49ers 38-10. So San Francisco is now 5-6. The Bears forced overtime at home in Chicago, but the Vikings prevail in OT 30-27 on John Parker Romo's game-winning 29-yard field goal. Sam Darnold threw for 330, a couple of touchdown passes in that game. And you guys mentioned the Chiefs-Panthers game. Nice feel for Carolina. They come down the field, they tie up the game, but of course left a little bit too much time for Patrick Mahomes, and he did his thing to set up a game-winning field goal for Kansas City.
Mahomes, first and 10, steps up into the pocket, being chased, but now he's going to scramble to the near side, 50, cuts inside, 45, 40, 35, Mahomes at the sideline, out of bounds with one of the longest runs in his career, down to the Carolina 22-yard line. Patrick Mahomes runs for 33 yards.
The Chiefs may be bored, but Mitch Holtis is not bored there on Chiefs Radio. He's still into it, and I did set up Spencer Strader's game-winning 31-yard field goal. Chiefs survived the Panthers 30-27. You got the Harbaugh Bowl tonight with the Ravens and the Chargers. Do you want
that is Jerry's a huge
call?
Game, by the way, because
yes,
you know who's coming on now? It's the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked awesome yesterday. They were fast. This was that Mike McDaniel offense the last 3 weeks. It's been getting better and better and better.
Tua. Opposite of last year.
When Tua was on, mm-hmm. I mean, now that he's back, they're sitting in the eighth spot, and they're 5-6, and they're going to make a run for the playoffs here.
Now they're going where? They're playing the night game Thanksgiving,
Green Bay.
Right?
Green Bay.
Yeah, right.
That should be a great
already,
game.
They're already talking yesterday about narratives, cold weather. McDaniel and Tua.
And small hands.
Yeah.
Tiny hands. Yeah. Tiny hands. But I think Tua's got good hands. He's got good size hands.
Okay.
It was Jared Goff with the small hands.
Mm. All right. So we'll have to wait for Jerry's call next.
His voice is okay. And
okay,
Rutgers
good.
Because
I was worried
Kennesaw
about
Kennesaw State.
He lost his voice like that.
They did, yeah. He told me a whole thing about, Ace Bailey played high school ball there, and they were fired up to shut him down, and they played lights out. So not a good start to the road trip for the Scarlet Knights.
And he lost his voice?
Yeah, he like on Friday night. So he was able to get it back, I guess.
Yeah, he sounded fine on the final call.
I got to go.
He was telling you that I got to box out here on this free throw. So he was giving advice, too, on the call.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Today, the New York Yankees will hold their annual Thanksgiving food voucher giveaway at Yankee Stadium's Gate 2, corner of East 164th Street and Jerome Avenue, and Gate 8 on River Avenue between 162nd Street and 164th Street, beginning at 9 a.m., approximately $4,025 food vouchers will be distributed to assist local families in preparing their Thanksgiving meals. Vouchers may be redeemed at participating Bronx-based C-Town and Bravo supermarkets. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, a couple of things from this weekend. Also, number one, Army just could not hang with Notre Dame. You know, it was unfortunate, but, Army gave it, you could just see, they gave it everything they had.
I wanted to bet Notre Dame, but I couldn't do it because I wanted Army to win so bad.
Yes.
I wanted him to keep it close, but I was like, this doesn't feel like this is going to be a close game. And
yeah,
unfortunately, it wasn't. I mean, that was just a bummer because I think most people, actually, everybody who's not a Notre Dame fan wanted Army to win that game.
Yeah, Army just couldn't stay up athletically. Yeah. I mean, just the offensive and defensive lines of Notre Dame, and then, of course, those two running backs that Notre Dame has. Mm. And the quarterback played really well, too, so he's got his game together. They'll probably be in the college football playoff, I would guess. How about this kid, Devin Neal, the running back for Kansas?
Yeah.
I mean, he was great against Colorado. It's amazing, because Deion's a defensive guy. You would think that the defense would be a little bit better at Colorado, but it just got tore up, and so they're pretty much out of the mix now. So that's unfortunate for the college football playoff that Colorado will not make it.
Yeah,
and then the crazy situation at Rutgers with Illinois.
Yeah, I know. I was actually listening to the radio broadcast of that while things were melting down, and the Rutgers had a million injuries, too. They lost so many guys after the year.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
All kinds of problems.
Yeah. It just listening to Carlin go, have you seen anything like this? I've never seen anything like this.
I mean,
Eric,
amazing.
Have you seen anything like this? It's like, oof.
So here's what I'm thinking, because I don't think Illinois had any timeouts left.
No.
And this was their last play.
Mm.
So Rutgers is probably protecting the sidelines. The coach says, look, we're going to throw it right in the middle of the field because there's not going to be anybody there. And then it's up to the guy to catch it and go with it. And the quarterback took a vicious hit right as he was throwing it, too, by the way.
I mean, I just...
That was unbelievable.
How none of these guys, one, two, three, five guys, couldn't get him down. I mean, it's, I don't know. Brutal loss. I mean, just absolutely brutal.
No way that just happened.
Yeah, that happened, all right.
Kyle Manunga.
And that happened after Coach Shiano had called timeout to ice the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coach for Illinois decided, yeah, you know, let's not put our kicker out there.
Oh, boy.
Just want another play.
Yeah.
Fourth and 13.
Not a great weekend for Rutgers athletics, unfortunately.
No.
You had a couple of losses with the basketball team and then this just brutal, brutal.
Well, Rutgers is still bowl eligible, though.
Yeah. So they can go to one of those fun bowls, right? The Beef O'Brady's, maybe, down in Tampa.
The ones that the seniors don't play in.
Yeah, that's right. Those. Yeah, I mean, some of those bowl games, I remember, oh God, what was the one I got carted out of? It was the...
What do you mean got carted out of?
Birmingham Bowl?
Yeah, it was the Birmingham Bowl. When I had my gallbladder attack and I had to go to the hospital in Alabama. It was at the Old Gray Lady, they called it. It was the BBVA Compass Bowl is what they called it. That's
BBVA
right.
BBVA Compass Bowl.
Yeah, it was Pitt and Ole Miss. What a... Down in Alabama.
Ole Miss had a bad loss this week.
Yeah, they did.
A lot of things happened.
Yeah, Florida's playing tough. They're hanging in.
Right. They wanted to fire that coach like 3 weeks into the season, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.